Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We'll with tonight's guest, sculptor and painter Artis Lane.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Obina Eze-Ojoku. And I am Mark Lejeune, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I just started a sweat as soon as you said Obina's name. I forgot I had to pronounce his last name.
Because the last time he was here, he said, oh, just say Obina. Oh, no. Thankfully, Artis Lane, I could say, and I love saying that, because it feels like I'm saying artist, and I am. It's actually the name, and it's a beautiful thing. So I was thinking this morning, as I was looking at the fact that our guest would be Artis Lane, I was thinking, and it's interesting, we were talking, Artis and I, earlier before the show. I had no idea her second husband was Italian-American, or interesting, or and partly Irish. But of course, being Italian-American, that's interesting to me. But growing up, I remember something silly, like a friend of my parents wanted to give me a gift for something. I don't know, maybe it was my birthday. And they asked my parents to ask me who my favorite sports star was. Now, first of all, I wasn't much into sports, but even still, I could have come up with a name. Because we kids had favorite sports stars. But my mother said to her friend, What are you trying to do? And she said, "Well, I'm trying to put the name on something that I want to give him. Like, I don't remember what it was, some little gift or something with their favorite sports star's name on it." And my mother said, "Well, put his name on it. Why would you put somebody else's name on something you're going to give to him?" And then when this thing arrived, oh, it was a little chess thing that it was a football. You put your little trinkets in it or something. And on the outside would have been the sports star name, but instead was my name. And I loved that thing. And I loved the fact that my name was on it. And I thought, wow, this would have been a whole different experience if somebody else's name was on it, even if it was a sports star. Now, the reason I bring this up is because I don't think it's necessarily because of that particular gift, but growing up, people used to say, well, who are your role models? Who do you want to be like? Who do you want to be? And I didn't have any. And on the one hand, I think that's sad. But on the other hand, I think it was good for me, because if I had picked a lot of the role models that my other friends would have said, oh, so-and-so and this singer and that singer, which I didn't think were necessarily good role models. But to me, I kind of missed a role model. And today, this morning, I was thinking, if I had known Artis, she would have been a role model. And having her on the show today is a way to put out there, maybe I didn't have role models because I didn't know people like her. People that represent something to me that is meaningful, not only in my life and in her life, obviously, but in the lives of many. And represent something that lives as truth beyond what it is that she does. And will live forever beyond her many years to come. And so I think role models are great. I think the right role models are even better. And today, I believe we have one of those, and I am honored that she's here. So I can't wait to share what I've already learned about Artis Lane and what we're all going to learn more together right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm sitting here with Mark Legere. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and in a moment, Artist Lane is going to join us, and I just can't wait.
I'm so excited for this episode, and I had the good fortune of accompanying Artist to the studio on the way here.
Mm-hmm.
I got to know her a bit, and actually, when I picked her up, I thought I had the wrong person because she doesn't look a day over 40.
Oh.
So,
She looks great.
Impact that she has had, not only in her circles, but throughout culture, as we'll hear, just resonates and is so deep and so profound. But it's an honor to have her here in the studio with us.
Well, that's exciting. You know, I'm going to fight you for a big... no, fight is not a good word. I'm going to try and persuade you to let me take her home.
We'll discuss that later.
Of course, she might have a say in this. But I want to say that, of course, Artist Lane is a painter. She's a sculptor, and for that matter, she's one of the country's foremost painters and sculptors. And she is the first Black woman to have her work displayed in the National Portrait Gallery. She has had so many honors. And just this past weekend, actually, I was at an event and I was bragging about the fact that Artist was going to be our guest on the show. And this young Black American artist, who was an artist, said, "Oh, I know Artists. Oh my God." She put her hand to her heart and she said, "I would love to be there." And of course we can't have a studio audience, but, she said, I know her. I've exhibited with her before, the artwork. And she says, "You know, Filippo, if I had anything to say about her, I would say she is the grand dame of art." And now I have since met her, and I must agree. So welcome to the Grand Dame of Art, Artist Lane, to our show.
I'm so happy to be here. And I understand that my real name is, married name is Artist Marie. I haven't used it in so long. Corelli.
Corelli.
When I was doing Henry Ford's wife, who was Italian.
Oh, she was?
She said, "Why do you use..." My husband was an actor and producer. "Why do you use Cannon?" He was, as an actor, he became Boom Boom Cannon. He's a...
Okay.
Outspoken. That's why I love him, because my grandfather was like that. So my official name is Artist Marie Corelli. I was born Artist Shree. My mother was a Shad, and I had a great-great-aunt, Mary Shad Carey, who was a wonderful historian, a historic figure.
And this is in Canada, right? You were born in Canada?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I have a brother and sister who were born in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
During the Depression years, my father was a farmer in a little all-Black village called North Buxton. And Depression years, we moved, and that's how I was born in Canada, but back and forth to Ann Arbor. They put me in public advanced schools. Ann Arbor was very exploratory and bringing out the individual talents of people. Very progressive city, still is, I think, educationally.
You know, I have to pause. This is the very first time, Mark, that anybody has mentioned living during the Depression years on our show. So this is a first for us.
That's true.
That tells a lot about age.
Now that you mentioned that, did that shape your view of the world the rest of your life, actually? That was maybe one of the minor things, but it must have... What were the things that shaped...
Well, we were a very proud family because my mother's people were the wealthiest people in that. In fact, they lived in a suburb outside the village. But Depression years and being a proud, I remember how ashamed she was that they brought a big tub filled with food for us rather than, you know, the welfare idea. And not just our family, of course, those who, and probably the school. And in fact, the schools, because they really favored creative people, I was put in special art classes, and I would learn to come back and draw perspective. This is 6, 7 years old, and try to tell the children, fellow students, it isn't an inch of grass at the bottom of the page and an inch of sky and then a stick house in between. They meld, you know, the sky and the ground. Yes.
Even as a small child, you had the perspective of the artist.
You're born with it. You really, it's a gift. It's a gift. And for my mother to know to name the artist, I used to be teased in art college because of that name that I made it up. There's no T on the end.
Yes, it's A-R-T-I-S. So growing up, you were influenced by a lot of things and some of the most the biggest influences on your art.
I'm a loner. I am a loner, but my communication is with the source of the gift. And when I was preschool, I walked over to, in Ann Arbor, a deserted Burl Machine tool company. And in the weeds, I sat there watching the bees pollinate the flowers. And I knew that I knew, and I wanted to tell my mother, you know, explain. I didn't have the words then. So it's early on, just, and people used to talk about an unusual name. Sometimes it's a male name, artist. I get male Mr. Artist. So I was the first in the five children to be recognized as an art student, artist. I'm a special little Irish teacher. Alice McCoy got me a scholarship in high school to study art when it had only been given for art or medicine, law and medicine.
So,
that connection to source, that was that something always there for you, or was that a defining moment?
It was the defining moment because it became like a strong concrete conviction. You're too young in those 3, 4, 5 to really know objectively.
To understand it.
But I remember some summer vacation. My mother, I would stay at the shed home. And my grandmother had a broken doll, the porcelain face, legs, arms, a little rag body. And I took it down to, there was a stream that ran through the acreage, and a tree, we called it Siamese Park, two trees that joined together. Anyhow, without being told, I used that clay and copied or tried to make figures similar to that doll. And I knew without being told, don't let it dry in the sun directly, I put it under the shade of the porch.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. So you have developed quite a career between painting and sculpture, and also you have garnered such recognition and from such powerful people, and you have also brought the names of people that are important to all of our culture more to the forefront because of your art. And so for that, we of course thank you. And but we when we come back, we want to talk more about that and find out more. So when we come back, we'll be talking to Artist Lane. And a little later, we will have Obina as our musical guest and his beautiful singing and playing and songwriting you will hear. All here on Life Changes right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic. And the Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. Our guest is happily Artist Lane, and she is a sculptor and artist and well-decorated one. You have been, this has been your whole life, and you started to tell me earlier before the show, and I said, save it for the show, because I knew that some gems were coming, that your whole life you've worked on three levels of consciousness.
Absolutely. Inspiration comes in many ways, and as you develop and go out into the world or are aware of the world, portraits aren't enough. You get into social issues, and then the mind and the idea of the creative source, I started exploring that, so it became a metaphysical matter. So I hadn't heard the word metaphysics until Cary Grant gave me a book. And it was about metaphysics, but it was not divine metaphysics, above matter.
Is that Cary Grant, the actor?
The actor, my dearest friend. I have never sought these people out. It's always, they flow into my life, and there's an exchange there. At Universal Studios, the Mike Westmore, the Westmore people, invited me to walk across from where I lived, right across from Universal, to do sculpture, anything I wanted to use their studios. And so I met Cary Grant and a little gal from, she's Vietnamese, or introduced me to him, because he would come to the restaurant, Jimmy's restaurant. She was engaged to a Japanese fella. She was Korean. And I took the portrait. She said, you've got to see this sketch that Artist Lane did of you. Appointment was made to go over and show it to him. Have you had dinner, he said. And I said, no. Let's go over to Anico's. So we went there to celebrate. Meet me. And from that point on, Peggy Lee, his best friend was Peggy Lee, just his best manager, Stanley, and did Portraits of the Children. And it's one thing led to another. And all that led to success in portraiture.
Mm.
But at one point, top socialites, nothing negative about that, but it wasn't enough. I had a fine art background, and I wasn't expressing it. So along comes Rosa Parks, the social issues came because I met her early on in the late 50s when she'd just been invited up into Detroit because her husband, their lives were threatened in the South after the incident on the bus. And I'd done a painting of her called The Beginning of the Movement Against Segregation. And so that led, flowed into other people. Sojourner Truth, the word of mouth, it's in Washington. I was commissioned to do Sojourner Truth, the slave who spoke out against it and made lecture tours, as had my great-great-aunt, Mary Shad Carey, in 1856. Her father, Abraham Shad, moved the family out of Delaware up into Canada. That's how I happened to be born there. But then the divine metaphysics. I was given a book called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, by a man who was a decorator in the galleries that I would be doing portraits, and on Mother's Day, a bonsai gift. And I tried to read it, couldn't understand it, kept the book on my coffee table because it was, he'd created a marbleized cover on it, trying to understand, and in walks into my life, my soon-to-be husband, not knowing it. He said, "That's the same book that my coach, singing coach, Laura Hart, gave me." He was from Philadelphia. We came from the Midwest, to California just about the same time, and met because he was dating someone who I was commissioned by an African-American doctor, Dr. Parrott, to do people of all races for his office. Mm. And he asked this young man to bring his girlfriend over on a Sunday. We met at my studio home. And I had met Cary Grant before then. I was speaking of that. Vince, my new friend, when he met Cary Grant, he did not know that I knew Cary Grant, and he'd always aspired to being a leading man himself. So Cary Grant would come over. The artist, he says, "Is the painting ready? I'd like to pick it up." And so he was there first, my home across from Universal, and here comes Vince Carelli to bring me some photographs of models, a book of models, and he was totally shocked. This is meeting Cary Grant. They became good friends. But all that meeting of people who I got to know, leading people of Los Angeles.
Of the world, actually.
Well, here for that, and then I did Governor Romney, the older Governor Romney's, his portrait when I was working in...
That's when you were just getting started, right?
Yes, back when I was single and 19, whatever. So one thing in your path leads to another if you're ready. And that I stayed so devoted to art that I knew my gift, and that was why I was here, put here to express seeing the perfection of the true man that I'm doing painting of, seeing not flattering, but catching the essence of their true being.
There's such expression in the sculptures, especially, that is it evokes emotion. And it reminded me of something that actually you write. You say, in my work, I strive to heal, uplift, and inspire the viewers of the pieces, and for the collectors to find perfection in their own being.
Yes.
As well. That, what do you mean by all of that? That's a lot.
Well, the outward appearance. I was in Texas doing the top people there.
Mm-hmm.
And this one man who adored his wife, but she was a very ordinary, you might say, didn't use makeup, but he loved her. And he was the glamorous guy in the social milieu. And when she sat for me, she was afraid. She went back to her bedroom, didn't want to see. And he loved it. She made her come out, and it changed her life about self-worth, that love has nothing to do, very little to do, with the physical.
Mm.
It has to do with the sweetness of her and the strength of her. So that's what I strive for in my work. I've just finished portraits of Marvin Davis's grandchildren, the mother, and they're not identical twins at all, which is very helpful because I've done identical twins and the brushstroke will be different.
Interesting.
Yes, colors.
Because of the expression, whatever energy you get from them, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, but that wasn't enough so that I got into saying something about metaphysics of man emerging out of matter into spirit. I was looking for this man, and there was a photographer who had a book on men and women. Joanna Poitier and I were painting together and found this book.
Her Joanna book, Poitier is
Sidney Poitier's wife.
His wife, okay.
She was quite gifted in art. She's now a well-known decorator. But found this book on man and woman. And I opened the first page. I wanted to find a pure African male to represent the early belief of oldest, old-standing man being out of, I think it's Kenya, that's one of the countries of Africa.
Okay.
And she gave a dinner for Thanksgiving. My husband, Vince, and I were always invited. And Anika, the daughter, had invited Jaimon. I did not know this is the man in the book. He walked into their home, shook hands. I was seated L-shaped to Sydney, and shook hands. And I felt the energy you spoke of.
Wow.
Of the old guard leading man and to the new young man
who
became very famous as an actor. In Blood Diamond, one of the movies. And he had dreamed of coming to the States to be an actor. He hated modeling and was a serious actor.
Wow. You have recently done two very well-known people. Actually, interesting how things develop in order to do Rosa Parks or to do the bust of Rosa Parks, right?
Yes.
You had to become an American citizen because they were honoring her, right? I think. And
at that time, the Smithsonian did not require that. I'm speaking of later on. We've got a whole 80 years span here. So to get them sequentially is a little difficult, but relatively speaking, unknown Oprah Winfrey.
relatively speaking, unknown
Oprah Winfrey.
That's another quote that hasn't been used.
That's on stage, Rosa Parks was there because I wanted to give this gift to Rosa Parks. And Oprah didn't know that. She just thought it's an unveiling of the painting and wanted to buy it. And so when... when I had to stand, I was on stage with her and the three of us. And I came to the mic, I'm trying to remember how I had first met Rosa Parks in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Huey Lee Smith. There was a march down to meet her in Detroit, her first move up there out of the South. And I'm expecting a tall, strong woman, and she was my height and soft-spoken, and got to know her throughout the years. She would come here every to Los Angeles every winter because Detroit was so cold. And I met her in the home of the people. A lawyer who Angela Davis was represented by. And Dorothy Dandridge had married one of the twin sisters of his wife. All the connecting issues of known people.
Well, you are royalty. You are. You're the grand dame because of art, but there's just so much more.
I am very much at ease with people because I do not see that sort of classification that society lays on them. I'm not awed by wealth or social position, or so therefore they're comfortable with me, and so one leads to another. But I know I had almost a nervous breakdown because of this. So much popularity, success in portraiture, and I wanted to get back to what I was here to represent about mankind, and went back to UCLA, studied with Jan Stussy, a fabulous professor at UCLA, and that whole idea, he believed that we're born in a womb box. He was an agnostic, and I was deeply into the spiritual reality of man, and he would pick my work out with the class of people who were very select group at UCLA. Some were retired doctors. One works on the space program. And his whole description of my work was that he almost predicted that there would be more in store for me. Portraiture has there's an isolation about it, unless it's done in Alice Neal, who saw the Chinese theory of nature being the power over mankind. And so Alice Neal, whose work is really in the art world considered very powerful. I'm diametrically opposed to that idea of, for instance, having did a portrait of her black maid nursing her baby who died, when Warhol was, she did this wounds from the shot. He was
Warhol.
Yes, Andy Warhol. Her seeing portraits as a victimized, negative, was a challenge to me because I never wanted to be considered an artist who flattered anyone. You look for that intrinsic, whether they're aware of it or not, that
true essence.
Individual essence, yes.
I could just listen to you talk. As a matter of fact, we just went 4 minutes over, and I had no idea. I know, but I mean is that I'm loving your stories, and in every story you tell, we could go deeper and deeper because meeting Rosa Parks, yes, that's interesting. I know you actually became friends, and to be able to talk more about that, to be able, and that's just one of the many people, but more than people, the experiences, and more than even the experiences, was what you got out of it, what you saw, what the importance that you put into it, that then you then put into your art. That's not only the metaphysics, but the social injustice. I want to tell people to definitely go to artistlane.com. That's ARTISLANE.com, artistlane.com. and just feel, see the expression of her work, and you'll learn more about there. You'll read her bio. It's also on our website at lifechangesnetwork.com. But if you look at the resume from Luminary Awards and Lifetime Achievement Awards that she got from the California African American Museum, I mean, and the list goes on. And what I was alluding to earlier was that you did, I think the sculptures of the President Obama and Mrs. Obama, yes. Michelle Obama. So I'm curious about that when we come back with Artist Lane right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
So before we bring artists back, we have who we think is a special guest. Actually, is that Makita in there? Hey! I just saw her through the window.
Makita
Tanay in the studio. Wow, this is a special day.
Yes, it is.
It was already special. And it just got more and more special. First of all, we were talking off air. We were talking about the synchronicity of you being here, Obina, today. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to say your last
Obina
name.
Obina Ezeojoku.
How'd he do? What? Did he do all right?
Close,
okay.
Close.
It's
85-90%.
Well, that's better than what I got.
Well, so, yeah.
So, the beautiful, it's not a coincidence. I mean, it's just a beautiful.
It's bound to happen.
This is a beautiful moment to have you back in the studio. Makita is special because she's special, and it was a special day when she was here singing for us. And so then you were her keyboardist, and so then we afterwards. I don't remember you were of course playing, but afterwards we started talking, and then you sang something for us. I'm like, whoa, that voice! You sing too, and so what? We think would be special if, while before we bring artists back, is if we could have one of your songs.
Oh, right now?
Right now, aren't
okay.
you?
All right.
Okay.
That's fine.
What could we hear?
Well, okay. So first of all, this is a song. Okay. So now, back when I was in Nigeria. I was born and raised in Nigeria. I used to also host a talk show, funny enough.
Oh, you did? Did you?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
And it was a show about relationships and family every day. So people would call me in and tell me about their day. And
really?
Oh, yeah. It was.
In what language?
Oh, English. That's the official language of Nigeria. I know a lot of people do not know that.
I knew that. I just wanted to make sure that everybody else knows.
Ah, yeah, right.
Artist is laughing at me.
Yeah,
right.
With you. With you. But, yeah, so, I mean, I learned a lot about life from that show because you would get calls from people who are having issues in their families and relationships, and you would hear all sorts of things. Things that you thought were normal in your world are not normal in the next person's world.
Mm.
I realize that in marriages, especially when most people get into marriages, they think that is going to be, some men want to take all the load on their back and like, okay, this is me, macho, alpha male, I'm going to run with it. But then life isn't always like that. So this song is titled All the Way, and it's just a man and woman talking. He's telling her they will take it step by step. You take one step, I take the next step, and we'll just work this out. So,
okay.
Let's do this. Nobody knows what tomorrow decides to bring our way. We take each day as it comes. So, darling, sometimes don't expect the best of me. I've got a body and soul that only proves that I'm human anyway. But if you take my hand, then maybe together we could make it work. I take one, you go ahead and take two, and then I could come and take three, maybe four. We could give it a shot again, and this time I could let you take one, you go ahead and take two, and then I could come and take me before. Or I could go all the way. Oh, we've never been here before, and we still got a lot we've never seen. No matter who gets silver or gold, what's important is at the end is you and me. You've got a problem with yours. I could live my thing and lend a helping hand right on course. Then maybe together we could make it work. I take one, you go ahead and take two, and then I could come and take three, maybe four. We could give it a shot again, and this time I could let you take one, you go ahead and take two, and then I could come and take three, maybe four. Oh, or I could go all the way.
Heaven.
Wow.
Bina as a joke.
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, thank you.
Please, give it a shot.
And that was shot. Called Obina.
Yes.
And that was, no, I'm on camera. I'm not going to take a shot on camera. And what was that called again?
All the Way.
All the Way.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was actually perfect because, by the way, you know, artists was a singer.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Really?
Second alto.
Really?
She sang with her two sisters. Yeah.
Wow.
Radio CFCO champ. fun in Detroit.
Well, that's great. What kind of music was that? I'm beginning to sound like I'm the host.
Yeah, remember, this is...
That's why you're here.
I'm going to introduce you properly during the next segment, and I was going to say that that you were, of course, born in Nigeria, but I know that you spent a lot of time in Kenya. So do they also speak English there? Is that the national language there?
Well, actually, their official language is Swahili.
Right. Okay. So I'm going, because I kept thinking.
But you knew that also.
No, I didn't. Well, I knew that, but I
I
would have flunked on a test. I would have. I have to be honest. But I knew you spent time in Kenya, so I just assumed. I'm not digging myself out of this, evidently. So anyway, back to artists, and then we'll come back to you, and then you could beat up on me some more. And you know what? And Makita is more than welcome when you sing again to come in here and videotape you from, you should see the angle I've got. You see his beautiful face right there and see him singing. And artists, you had your eyes closed. It's interesting. You're a very visual person, and yet,
you go inside and see your own pictures, your own, and I do that with the readers at church. I listen for, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. And then man created in God's image is very aware that comes alive.
It's,
my sense of joy, use the word joy.
When you create, do you close your eyes? Do you go within? Do you have a ritual? What is happening with between you and the medium?
Such a variety of, and I'm influenced by cultures too. Jaimin Hansu was my generic man, and he sat for me, and I heard he gave me a beautiful album of their music out of Benin, which was the most sophisticated. Their city, I'm always a little, not annoyed, but the fact that people are so surprised of the sophistication of the African mindset and the traditions. Picasso admired and was influenced by Jean-Jacques Braque, rather. The Cubist period came from influence of their sculpture. I collect as best I can African pieces.
You're an artist through and through, because you not only create, of course, and in an amazing way, but you also collect other people's work. You study people's work.
Oh, I'm an art junkie. Yeah, I treat myself. That's how I got it to invest in or to collect. I don't invest. I have to have it. So John Otterbridge, I bought during the Watts riot. After that, some of the work of someone who at LACMA yesterday at the auditorium, they have an amazing exhibition of this artist's work, and I can't think of the name. And I owned his piece. Bought it during the late 80s, was it? For a minimum amount of money. And now MoMA is very hot on collecting John Otterbridge's piece, Fractured Dance, a tribute to his wife, mixtures of leather, metal, sewn figure, Fractured Dance. I needed the money. I hated to part with it, but MoMA in New York bought it for $50,000 two times, and then the man who moved out to the desert and has a wonderful tribute to his work at LACMA now. I had purchased his work and sold it. MoMA bought it for $60,000. So these art changes are happening now for African American artists. Betty Saar was honored along with John Otterbridge, was representing American artists at the Venice Biennale. So those things don't I don't say they don't impress me, but I'm not aware at the time. Mm-hmm. When you see something work that you see the power of it and understand the language of it, I've been very privileged to own it at one time and having to give it up for their sake and for their acknowledgement in the overall world of art.
And make it available for generations to enjoy.
MoMA's very,
or to experience and learn from that as well.
I still have a piece that the British Museum is interested in of John's.
Now, your pieces are, of course, all over, and we talked about a couple of the places where they are. But I did have that curiosity about the president and the first lady and the sculpting of that. Well, what was that like for you?
Well, I was a Canadian. I had no American citizenship at the time. I did a sculpture of him. I was introduced to him at CAM, California African American Museum, when he was running for senator, and he had written a book about his father,
mm-hmm.
and had a photo shoot with him.
You could also say when he was lesser known, kind of like Oprah was lesser known.
Up and coming. We all have our journeys, you know, from brand new, from known, unknown to world known. And Jamie Foxx, I did three of them. I saw them dance at the inaugural ball, and I placed them at the Forest Lawn Museum retrospective facing one another because I thought, oh, they love one another. This is a true American family. They love their two girls. It's plus that they happen to be ethnically different to the past histories of our I can say it now, American. I became an American so I could qualify to have my sculpture of Rosa Parks in the permanent collection at the White House and at the Smithsonian. So, answer during the truth. I've been very blessed. Just
so well deserved.
Oh, there's a number, page 114-15. Translation of Immortal Mind and of the True Man of Science and Health of Hebrew Scriptures. That was what brought on the final work that means everything to me, to interpret the true man created in God's image and using Jaiman Ansu as pure African from the most cultured city in Africa. And he became my godson at the Poitiers home. Well, Joanna pointed out this is the artist who will, she and I found the book with him in it. And, when he came in that day, I was talking about his coming into this Poitiers home for Thanksgiving dinner and, their meeting, shaking hands over my head. I was seated there, saying, all led to, it helped me realize what my cause, my position in this world, to contribute not just portraits, not just social injustice, those are protests, but to acknowledge that we all are one, metaphysically speaking, when you arrive at that true understanding of our image as created in God's image, the real man. And so my whole installation has been shown twice in museums to express that climbing up out of darkness, unenlightened, out of temptations of the evil mortal side, being pulled by the power of God up into and leaving all the negativity and arriving at that realization. I have the final, and through body language, the one bent in darkness, moving up, aspiring, stretched neck, head to the truth. And then finally on one leg, standing balanced like the Messiah when they're watching over the cattle, they have that staff. And the final piece was done. I wanted to be crystal, standing on one leg balanced. You'll see it on my website. that it represents that true understanding, that the real man is the qualities, invisible qualities, not that bronze or the bronze breaking through the shell, breaking out of that shell into, yes.
Is it this one?
Yeah.
Okay, I was wondering about that.
The one on one leg is, I did it.
Okay, so that's on your homepage. Mm-hmm. And that's the which one?
That's the first man.
The first man, okay.
And then the new man, or real man, is the final crystal, see-through, invisible qualities. But the body language tells that they're balanced.
Is it this one?
It's so hard to... No, that's the searching. Breaking out of that shell up into the standing balanced. And then finally... the invisible qualities. I've only been able to do one because it's very difficult to
I bet.
To run that clear liquid through the mold. So
I've been actually just looking at. I could ask you about each one of these actually, but I'm gonna just leave it for the audience to go to Artists Lane, ArtisLane.com, and just experience. That's the best word I could use. It's not even looking. It's really taking it in. It's experience. It's an experience.
It's expressing God in art. Fine art now does not deal with that in that higher. It's called higher realm. Jeff Koons. Nothing against the work, but I'm just saying that the time has come now to speak strongly about acknowledging the gift that you're given and expressing your understanding of God through it. It draws people to who they really are, and it lifts them up to the spiritual reality of their being.
Amen. You say it, artist, and you said it well. Thank you. I do have one final... Well, I don't have one final question. I hope I get to drive you home, and if I do, I'll have more if you're not too tired. But while we're on the air, Mark, when he came in with you, he said something about that you got to ask her about unselfing yourself. What does that mean, artist?
Well, man is not capable of originating thought. Man is the expression of God's thought in its highest sense. And in the art world, you're seeing a separation from that idea. I love Matisse's work, for instance, who finally did a chapel in abeyance to the Christ child. You know that chapel? And I've had a thing about the monster Picasso, who's considered the artist of the 20th century, when it should have been Matisse.
Mm.
They were adversaries in a way. They were known for that. I have a book about the two of them.
He's the one with the rain, the clouds and the umbrella, the man with the umbrella. Isn't that Matisse? Okay, I'll just be quiet for the rest of the show. No, that is Matisse, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it is. Anyway, go on.
The jazz series, he did the jazz series. And when he, in bed, he could no longer work. He had an illness that he was bedridden. So he would cut out these beautiful shapes, his whole jazz series. Oh, I want to say that music, it takes you to that creative mind that arrived at the original and now music that we're experiencing. I happen to be doing Don Cornelius's portrait,
mm-hmm.
who was a Soul Train mm-hmm. producer of that. When I was in Detroit, I took my portfolio to Barry Gordy's home, Hill, what's it called? His house in Detroit. And took my portfolio in, and on the it was big portfolio of work I'd done of the Beatles, of the different people, and wanted to show Barry because I wanted to get some way of making a living, I was newly divorced and had a daughter to support. And on the porch was Marvin Gaye. It couldn't have been more than 17. Ma'am, can I take the portfolio in for you? And he did. Wow. And Barry Gordy, we joke about his day. He said, met me and said, I want you to see my new equipment. he never saw the work. I left there. But it wasn't meant, you know, I was pushing maybe desperate to keep make it a profession and not using God's. God says, wait on God's time.
Mm.
Just be prepared. Just like John Otterbridge said to me when I was so indignant that his work was not accepted until recently to the degree that all the Caucasian artists who came down from San Francisco, the work just being collected and prices going higher and higher. He said, artists, just do the work. When I look back on that, I was defending him. And he was saying, and the wise old philosopher, he's 2 years younger than me, but in Pasadena, he was being honored, his retrospective. And yet I knew he wasn't getting the recognition of Caucasian artists or Jewish artists.
Well, because of artists like you and the work that you've done and the way you've done it and the way you've carried yourself through all that you've done, you are helping more artists get recognition, and you're also being a role model to artists.
Young new ones coming
yes,
out. But
yes.
They must have a message, an artist's intent, not the individual piece, but what are you saying? What is this body of work saying about you individually?
Artistlane.com. And this has been an absolute pleasure and an honor.
It's so mutual. I love what's going on here. You're reaching. How do you know what your readership, your listening?
Because of you, I'm sure it's multi millions today.
That Italian.
And on that, we come back in just a moment to have more music by Obina, and we shall look forward to that as well right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back. Hugs and kisses everywhere. Everybody's like, it's just one big happy family, and I couldn't be happier myself. This has been quite a pleasure. And speaking of pleasure, we get the pleasure of hearing more of our guests, Obina. He was born in Nigeria. He did spend time in Kenya, where the language is Swahili, as a matter of fact. And I don't know if anybody knows this. Okay, I'll be quiet.
Gotcha. Yeah. It wasn't so long, really. It was just about a year, and when I was a lot younger.
Uh-huh.
But I guess why that part of my life was very important, because that was when I started singing. Because I started as a tenor classical singer. So when you said second soprano, okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I always had an interest in piano. And then I just realized one day that the tenor pieces just, you know, I just love them. You know, the first one that really struck me was one called Where You Walk.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you know what
I do. Yes. Handel, right?
That, yes.
I know something.
That's good. That's good.
I could even sing it for you, but I'm not going to.
It's a beautiful piece, and it's one of those pieces. It's funny because I was playing soccer, you know, after school, and I just heard someone belting the notes from the music room, and I'm like, no, what is this? And then I'm like, coach, just give me a second.
Wow.
And I hopped out, and I just sat there while he was singing because it was supposed to be a concert nearby. And then I'm like, I play the piano. I might as well get singing a shot. And music instructor was like, you want to try? And that's how I started singing.
You were playing soccer, you said?
Yeah, I also played soccer.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a soccer fanatic on the other side.
Because you're, what, 6'12"?
Yeah, no, come on, man.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, I'm 6'5".
Are you 6'5", seriously?
Yeah, I really
okay.
am.
Yeah.
I may not look it, but I am. But yeah, so I didn't play basketball, which is a customary sport for people my height. It just didn't happen.
Sang instead.
Yeah, I sang and I played piano. I'm
6'5" singing soccer player.
Yes.
You are one of a kind.
Paul Robeson was an athlete and a lawyer and a singer.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, recently, I'm also a game audio engineer. So I'm one of those who believe that you have one life to live, do as much as you can. As much as you have the ability to. And even when you don't think you have the maximum ability to do something, develop it. And you just never know. So that's my own philosophy. I believe that each and every one of us has a seed. And it's all for us to look to God to develop it on our behalf. Like, you know, you don't have the answers to everything. You don't sometimes know how that
seed
is
going
to develop, you know. And am I beginning to sound like an artist?
No, go on. You sound, yes, I'm loving it.
So, yes. I mean, you never know, especially when she was talking about just trying so hard to be professional about it. But then the message was wait, you know, just be prepared when it happens. Yes. So in a lot of regards, that has also been the situation with me. Because one of the things I've wanted to do is, if for example, right now I've worked with a video game company and I create sounds and I script and I do a couple of other things. And it's something that musically, it's, you know, people don't see it as a form of music, but I see art and science as one, you know. So, you know, I believe that they're all one entity. Mm-hmm. And it's just all about moving it to one direction, like this direction of light, there's the other direction of light. So just move it as you want and you can manipulate it, you know. So that's what life has been all about for me. Music, composing, singing, playing piano, sciences, whatever it is. So, yeah.
The wisdom in this room today.
Mm-hmm.
What shall we hear next?
Okay, hear a song. Okay, now speaking of closing our eyes, I remember you guys were talking about closing your eyes and trying to imagine and dissolve something. Now, for a few moments, just picture a situation whereby I know some of you haven't been to, he's already closing his eyes. That's good.
Some picture.
You know, but I'll tell you a little bit about Nigeria. The part you don't see on TV.
Mm.
So, Nigerians are very, very happy people in the sense that we go through a lot, but we just manage to make fun of everything. When there's scarcity of gasoline or there's issues with power, Nigerians always have a way of making humor out of everything. Also, you go to areas that are not particularly very developed and you find a lot of poor people, they still find the time to be excited. You know, that's why a lot of you know, photographers and, you know, when they go there, it's easy to get great pictures when you go to Africa. Yes. From the developed areas to the underdeveloped areas, there's always something interesting to, you know. Mm. Now, the song, the name of the song is Carry Go. And it's one of those songs I wrote a couple of years ago. Carry Go. That's it. It's a stitch of two words.
Carry Go?
Yes.
Okay.
It's
Carry
it's
Go.
Coined from... So the official language is in English, in Nigeria is English, right? But
right.
Then, of course, we have other languages in different parts. And then we have something, a vernacular called pidgin.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, mm-hmm. pidgin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like the way Jamaicans have patois or something. You know, it's a lot of English in it, but then there are a lot of also reinvented words. So I could say, how you do today? How you do? That means, how are you doing? So you heard the how and you, but the rest of it, like, what? So that's where I coined the title. So the song is basically just talking about what, you know, how you can be a positive influence in society, basically. So I'm going to try and sing it now. Let me stop talking.
Here we go.
And yes, that's how to use it, precisely. All right. let's see how this goes. So I'm going to need someone's help on this. You're going to help me say hop step.
Hop step?
Yes. When I give you the sign.
Do we just say it?
1, 2, 3, go, say
hop step.
Hop step. Vico, Vico. Again, 2, go.
Hop step. Step.
Vico, Vico. Let's try it again. 2, go.
Hop step. Step.
Vico, Vico. Vico, Vico. Vico, Vico. 1, 2, 3. One more time. Go.
Hop step. Step.
Vico, Vico. Vico, Vico. Vico, Vico. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a crazy situation. People all around so impatient. Almost like we're of different natures. What's the problem? It ain't a new thing. Seen dead bodies on the pavement. The hustle and the bustle every day is getting crazy. Everybody, please take it easy. Oh, oh. Vico, 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 oh, oh, Vico, 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 Vico. You've got only one life to live, and how many souls can you touch with it? Just try and put yourself in the same shoes. How does it feel? Isn't it painful? Isn't it crazy? This ain't no love song. There is no way I'm gonna sing you another love song. I know this sounds kind of old school, but I know you. You still won't listen. You're so impatient. Oh, Vico, 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 oh, Vico, 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 oh, up it in better go, wicked and cut to wicked and go, wicked and go, wicked, wicked and go, wicked, but I lied to go, I said, in better get go, wicked, wicked and get it and get it and get it and get it and get it.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Obina, thank you very much. Actually, Obina, please pronounce your last name for me. Don't laugh at me, just pronounce it.
Eze Ajoku.
Eze Ajoku.
It's an Igbo name. It's from the eastern part of Nigeria. And Eze actually means king.
Okay.
So you're sitting with royalty.
Okay.
So no, but no, that's the meaning of the name Eze. It's actually king.
Obina Eze Ajoku.
And it's funny because little scat I was doing at the end was more you know, more original, like African kind of scat, where I was just, you know, scatting with rhythm and trying to get that whole Eastern groove going on along with the notes. And Biko, which was part of the chorus, actually means please. So it's that whole idea of closing your eyes and you're walking past, say, a beggar. And when I said hop step, it's usually action. People will see someone in need, and you just hop and step and walk the other way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then beggar is saying, please, please, and you hop step away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good Samaritan.
So that's what the chorus is all about. So, yeah.
Obino, what? We don't have a website to refer people to for you, and we need to change that. How do we... We need to fix that.
Actually,
you don't have one either.
For now, you can go to Life Changes Show.
LifeChangesShow.com.
And when, as soon as you get one, we'll put it up.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And I know you're eventually going to have a record and these songs will be included. And we'll put that up as well. So get us all the information when you have it.
I will.
You know how much fun it was to have you here and how perfect it was that you were.
And if we have our way, we're going to do much more of this.
Makita Tanay. You know, I can't help but think, I thought it was perfect as that both of you were here, Artis and Obina. But then that last song says exactly what Artis's last message was. It's not just about the art for art's sake. You have to say something, and you say something through your art. And what he was saying is, this is not just another love song. It's a song where I'm telling you that there's something that we need to take note here. And so he's doing exactly what you said.
Beautiful. I did a sculpture once of pregnant women, and I had no idea. An African came into the gallery, M. Hanks Gallery in Santa Monica, and he was in such awe. It's a matriarchy, more or less, as far as honoring the mother.
Oh, yes. Mothers are treated funny how the culture is different, but, you know, you don't let your mother, I understand the whole, the fight for equality and all that, but in Africa, your mother is, you don't let her do too much hard work.
Okay. It is,
you know, there's that reverence, because it's not easy to bring a child to this world. I know both parents are responsible for that, but the amount of her soul she puts in to raising the family, there's a lot of work that mothers do that.
Mm-hmm.
With that maternal instinct.
Yes, something. It comes naturally for her, but then you still see that effort going in as she does it. So, you know, mothers are always reverenced as. And when you see something visually that represents that, it's bound to capture, you know, I'm sure that's what happened to him. It was just captured, his whole being. Was like, God. Especially if he loved his mother as well, as, you know, if his mother meant a lot to him. You know, it's...
Wow. I see there's much more we need to talk about and much more to learn, and I can't wait.
To be continued.
Yes, I can't wait. That's with great. This, with that, thank you, Artis,
so
Lane.
Welcome.
Thank you, Obina, Eze, Ajoku.
Got it.
And,
all right.
On behalf of... I can stop sweating now. On behalf of Brent Hahn, our engineer here at Studio NoHo, and Don Newsom at BBS Radio Network, and on behalf of Mark Leger and Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, we are here to remind you, as your life changes as mine just did and as ours has today, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.